This is 91.3 KUAF, your NPR news station since 1985. And good morning. This is Weekend Ozarks at Large for Sunday, September 3rd, 2017. I'm Kyle Kellums. For this Labor Day weekend edition of our Sunday show, we'll hear some of the highlights of a program we recorded in front of an audience a week ago yesterday, putting them on the air for the first time this morning. As part of the Fayetteville Roots Festival, we invited musicians to play for us and talk about their music. This morning, we'll hear one song each from Gerard Blind Boy Paxton, Liza Ann, and the Stray Birds. We'll also talk with chefs, artists, and others involved in Northwest Arkansas's arts and culinary landscape. The show was recorded at the Fayetteville Public Library, and much of the music will be on tomorrow's daily edition of Ozarks at noon and 7. In just a few minutes this morning, one of the conversations from last weekend, Joe Randall, Arts and Culture Officer for the Walton Family Foundation. He talked with Brian Hembry, a co-founder of the Roots Festival, about that group's work. First, though, the music began that Saturday morning with Liza Ann. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome live from the Roots. I'm Kyle Kellums. Later, I'll be joined by Brian Hembry, co-organizer of the 2017 Fayetteville Roots Festival. A lot of great music. We're going to start off right now, ladies and gentlemen, with Liza Ann.
So this first one's called Northern Wind, and it's off a record I put out a couple of years ago called Two.
Hands I raise your tongue, it's mean, and it talks down my self-esteem. And mothers send cards with prayers and pleas, but you're my God, you are everything. Take me at my best, but you throw me, honey, at my worst. So don't turn around, feel it nipping at the backs of your heels. Feel it calling like a northern whispering. Really, I isn't what you've been. Don't turn around, feel it nipping at the backs of your heels. Feel it calling like a northern whispering, who we are isn't what you've been, no. I chase the light you're dimming down, oh, hit me now, won't you make a sound? And dearest, you are confusing me, the haze of a lover that is torn and need. I'm taking my breath, but you're breaking my chest, and don't turn around. Feel it nipping at the backs of your heels. Feel it calling like a northern wind whispering. Who you are isn't what you've been. Don't turn around. Feel it nipping at the backs of your heels. Feel it calling like a northern wind whispering. Who you are isn't what you've been. Oh, confusing me, cause you're the haze of a lover that I swore I would need. Oh no, don't turn around. Feel it nipping at the backs of your heels, and feel it calling, calling, calling you. And don't turn around. Feel it nipping at the backs of your heels, feel it calling like a northern wind whispering. Who you are isn't what you've been. And don't turn around, feel it nipping at the backs of your heels. Feel it calling like a northern wind whispering. Who you are isn't what you've been. And don't turn around, feel it nipping at the backs of your heels. Feel it calling like a northern wind. Oh, no, no. Oh.
In a few minutes, we have more music from Blind Boy Paxton. But you brought up this whole thing about community and working together and culture and culinary. I want to bring somebody else up to talk to us about that.
I think that's a great idea.
Joe Randall from the Walton Family Foundation. He just happens to be in the front row.
Hey, Joe.
How's it going, guys?
Doing great.
I was going to try to memorize your official title. I've known Joe for a while. It's Arts and Culture.
Culture.
Program.
Officer. You got it.
I know.
Yes. Which means
I have the tremendous privilege of getting to know all of our arts and culture figures here in Northwest Arkansas and find ways that we can support the work they're doing and keep making this the amazing place to live that Northwest Arkansas is.
Have you been able to meet them all yet? Because every day there's about four new ones.
No, it's funny. I'm fairly new to the area and moved up here a little over a year and a half ago. And I thought, you know, I'm going to spend the first year really trying to get to know everything that's going on here. And I'm well over a year and I've still got a long way to go in terms of getting in touch with everything that's happening here because there's such a tremendous cultural richness and so much activity going on that it's really great.
Well, Joe, that's how we met. Bernice was a part of this DISH project at Crystal Bridges where they took Bernice, they interviewed her, and they made a four-course meal off of her life. And Case Diggera was, like, on that. And they introduced you that night, and they said, hey, this is Joe Randall, Arts and Culture with the Walton Family Foundation. And that blew my mind, because that's like saying, hey, this, you know, the school has a music program, or the school, you know, the school's got a painting and sculpture program. And that really got me excited. And I think it was shortly after that I said, we got to talk. I feel like things are really moving in this direction where... you know, arts and culture is actually a thing that's not just like a peripheral. It becomes more of a foundational element. You know, do you feel that after the last year of kind of analyzing?
Absolutely. No, I think that from the Walton Family Foundation, we're within our home region work. We see arts and culture as one of the critical elements of quality of life in the region. And that's been a longstanding tradition in the region. And, you know, all the different areas that we're trying to support activities so that folks here, everybody has access to relevant, high quality arts and cultural experiences, you know, whether that's, you know, across geographic boundaries, racial, ethnic, genre. We're really excited about the idea of everybody having something that they can connect with as a vital part of high quality of life.
As an artist, that just warms my heart.
Well, you mentioned access, everyone having access, because one of the things that you and Bernice and Jeremy have decided, I think this year it's 45% of the events are free.
About 40% of the programming across the festival is part of our free community programming, yeah.
And is that part of what you want to make sure, that no one has income barriers to arts and culture?
Absolutely, no. And you know, when Brian and Bernice and I first started talking, the work that they and Jeremy are doing as far as connecting sort of two critical areas of our arts and culture strategy, music and food, and making sure that we were really engaging the tremendous work that was happening here already with some amazing stuff that's going on nationally and internationally, and ensuring that everybody in Northwest Arkansas has a chance to connect with that is really important to us.
Do you travel much as the officer?
I travel all over Washington and Benton County, which is, there's so much going on there, I don't really have a need to get outside of that too much.
Then I'm going to bring up this third rail, because we're in Fayetteville with something called the Fayetteville Roots Festival. Mm-hmm. Wednesday night we were in Bentonville at Crystal Bridges. Yeah. I know everybody in this room agrees that we're all one region, and there should be no, you know, inner city rivalry, right? We all agree with that. Do you face any... still what they would call Friday Night Lights hurdles, you know, that my town, this town, or are you seeing that? You've only been here a year and a half.
Yeah, I've only been here a year and a half, but I have to say that it's such a unique place, Northwest Arkansas, because you have all of these distinct populations that and communities that have tremendous assets, and they're all very distinct. And you know, we're trying to sort of work across all of those areas. I mean, if you just look at sort of, you know, music and all the tremendous work that's happening here in Fayetteville, everything from Fayetteville Roots to the Walton Arts Center, you move up to Rogers and you get the AMP, you have organizations that are working all throughout the region. One of the things we were excited about, the Fayetteville Roots Vision, was thinking regionally in that way, and that there's programming happening up at Brightwater. There's programming happening here. And again, making sure that everybody's got access to really high-quality arts and cultural experiences sort of wherever they are, geographically or otherwise.
And that's what got me excited, because these are things that we had been thinking about. You know, we were interested in, like, where people come from, and we know that folks come to the festival from 25 different states and many different countries, and is it Washington and Benton County, or is it outside of the Washington County and Benton County kind of metroplex, so to speak? Mm-hmm. And so we've been looking at that data for a couple of years, and all of a sudden we had a partner to, like, talk about that data with. And what does this mean? What are we trying to do? That was what was most exciting. I mean, it was I'm a data nerd, and all of a sudden, you know, I was able to, like, open up my spreadsheet and talk about it with someone else. But we look at it as Northwest Arkansas. I think it's critical. Obviously, we are the Fayetteville Roots Festival, and, you know, we talk about it, like, these 4 days of the year are magical for us here. But what are the other things that happen throughout the year that we can do? You know, we do a lot of Fayetteville Roots Present shows. We've done a lot of work with Crystal Bridges. This is actually the fifth year to do an event with Crystal Bridges. I had a lot of people say, oh, this is the first year you're doing that. I'm like, nope, this is the fifth year. But this year really ramped. And part of that is just, you know, allowing enough lead time for that synergy to start working. And that's exciting to have a partner to talk to about that. So.
No, we're thrilled. And you know, to that point about data, Brian, you know, every few years, the foundation conducts a quality of life survey across the region, because it's really important to us to know what is that the community is really excited about, and making sure that we're helping to partner and bring some of those arts and cultural amenities here and arts and culture, along with our sense of place work, the trails, the food scene. All of those are things that we constantly hear, and we know from that research is stuff that makes folks want to move here, makes them want to stay here, and helps our artistic and cultural community to really thrive in that ecosystem.
Good. Do you track smiles? That's like something that I'm always tracking. I just walk through the crowd. I'm like running. I'm like, okay, smiles are good. We're great. We're working.
We do.
Can we track that? Can we work on
we
that?
We can. We just need to verifiably count them.
Okay,
and,
good.
And
good.
Then
right,
we're in good shape. Yeah,
let's get with Google. They're probably doing that right now. Facebook is probably doing that at this moment, right?
72 smile percentage. Right. Okay, good.
I like it.
And where can people find out more about how you've supported the arts and culture?
Absolutely. You know, I think that the best way is really just to talk to the number of community partners that we have in the region, because they're the ones doing the remarkable work out there. But if you want to read more about our work in Northwest Arkansas in general, you can go to waltonfamilyfoundation.org.
All right. Okay. Joe, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, man.
I'll get checked. You want to get started and I'll get going?
Yeah. All right, more music. Now we're going to step, this is really interesting. We're going to step back several decades. Gerard Blind Boy Paxton is a young man, but you'll hear he has an old soul, because he's playing music very, very long ago, like decades ago. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the Fayetteville Public Library, Blind Boy Paxton.
That's not yours.
No, it is not. I'm playing guitar stand today. So.
Oh, well, come over here, guitar stand.
I'm a moving, walking.
Get close to me.
I always wanted a guitar tech. So.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Do I do anything special?
Do what you do.
I just talk to y'all and start playing some music.
Yeah, play a couple tunes.
And that's all. Talk. Y'all care about any kind of music in particular?
Okay.
All right. Everybody's a fan of songwriting these days. Should I play one I wrote? All right. This is a song about moving to New York City and finding out it ain't the same as your sweet home you left. It's true for me. I was born in South Central Los Angeles, where I could make a living singing Jimmy Reed songs and Hank Williams and be all right. You know, didn't have to do nothing but pick my mama's peaches and make sure the greens was green. But then I moved to New York City, where I found out you have to work or leave. And I'm still there, so I'm still working. People tend not to like songs about, especially blues songs, about moving to New York City. So, to exercise my good business acumen, the song is called The Mississippi Bottom. Mm-hmm. on that Mississippi bottom, it's filled with mud and clay. On that Mississippi bottom, filled with mud and clay. On that Mississippi woman, stole my heart away. Well, if you didn't want me, you sure don't have to stop. Well, if you don't want me, sure don't have to stop. 'Cause I can get me more lovers than a passenger train can hold. Yes, 'cause it takes rocks and gravel to build you a solid road. It takes rocks and gravel to build you a solid road. Take you a great big engine hooler to carry you a heavy load. California, I'm doing just as I please. When I was in California, doing just as I please. When I got to Mississippi, they said, Lord, you got to work or leave. I'd rather wash my face in the Gulf of Mexico or the Hudson River. Wash my face in the Gulf of Mexico. I'd rather eat my dinner 1,000 miles below. But the one I love was so far away. Now the one I love was so far away. Anyone I hate, I have to see her every day. When I ask for cabbage, she'll bring me a turnip green. When I ask for cabbage, she'll bring me a turnip green. And when I ask for whiskey, she'll bring me gasoline. Down in that Mississippi bottom, filled with mud and clay. On that Mississippi bottom, filled with mud and clay. And that Mississippi woman stole my heart away.
Thank you.
Bon Boy Paxton, winner of the Best Socks of the Festival Award. Music from the Stray Birds coming up in just a few minutes. This is not just a music festival, it's also about art, food, and other things. But we're going to concentrate on those two subjects, art and food, next. First, I want to bring out Matt Miller, who is a well-known, for good reason, artist in Northwest Arkansas. Matt, come on out. You'll be back.
Thanks, man.
You do something during the festival that I think would be incredibly intimidating, and that's live painting. You create a painting as people are watching. Mm. Whose idea was that?
Ooh, that's pretty much Brian Embry's idea. It was not my idea. But it's an interesting concept, you know? Like, when he brought it to me, I was like, 100% in. I didn't think about, well, I'll be in front of people or what's going to be going on. It was just kind of like, just do it. Make it happen. These are cool people doing cool things. I want to be a part of this, and let's do it.
Okay, so we've seen some great artists who play live in front of people. So mm-hmm. there's live entertainment, like live painting. Mm-hmm. But they're doing songs they've practiced before, and they've worked out the kinks. When you do a live painting in front of a few thousand people, you haven't done this painting before, have you?
That's true, but so, I have in some form. Because okay. because every painting has some form of muscle memory, and I create a roadmap every time I create a piece. There's a roadmap for me to get to the end, especially if it's like a portrait piece. Like I have my own system in place that I follow, but I can't tell you exactly what that is. I just get up there and the muscle memory clicks because I'm super nervous till I get up there. And then the paintbrush is in the hand and then the muscle memory comes and I forget everything else is happening, find the flow and just go, you know.
What are you doing yeah. this year?
This year,
or is it a secret before it's
revealed? Well, I don't know.
Give me the general idea.
The general idea. So basically, what me and Brian kind of collaborate before each festival is to commemorate someone that has made an impact on roots music. And so the first year it was just kind of like flow with the music. I did something abstract. The next year was Woody Guthrie. Then we did Levon Helm. No. Then we did Ed Stilley mm-hmm. and just paid tribute to him and his amazing craft and the art form that he's created over many, many years of being around. And then we did Levon Helm. And then last year was Guy Clark. And this year...
You don't have to reel it in.
You want a drum roll or something? I think y'all should know.
Okay.
This is a small room.
Okay, sure. And this is, this isn't until later. So it will be revealed by the time it's on the air.
Yeah. Yes. So it's Jimmy LaFave. And so that's, And so I usually, what I've been doing the last couple years is painting, like starting the painting upside down. So it's like, what is happening there? This is weird. I don't know what he's doing. And then at some point I flip it and people are kind of like, oh, okay. And hopefully they know who it is. Sometimes they don't, but it's okay.
Upside down.
Yeah.
That's not harder.
It is definitely harder. It's definitely more difficult for me. I'm like, now where is his face? And should his hair be going this way? You know, so it's just the roadmap, though. I'm kind of playing with shadows, and I'm following the shadows and evolving it from there, from the darks to the medium values to the lighter values. And I'm thinking in shadow form. So that's kind of how I'm processing it. You know?
Obviously, when you're live painting and it's at the main stage, there's music going on. When you paint in your studio or wherever you might paint, do you play music?
Constantly. Yeah, that's... Art feeds art, and music is absolutely the vibration. I mean, it feeds me. It makes you feel alive. Like, when you start hearing anyone play, like, if y'all have been on the main stage, if you've been here today, those vibes get in you, and you're just like, you can't help it. And so when I'm painting... If I'm just kind of like finding the zone, I have to think about what's going on in my mind way too much. If I'm in the flow, I can just roll with it, and music vibe just helps feed that, you know?
One last question. I've got two last questions. Yeah. One, when you're doing live painting, do you want people to come up and talk to you, or are you, because especially when you're doing it upside down, are you in that roadmap and you've got to be concentrating?
Well, there are moments. Like, there are moments if I'm on the canvas, like, I kind of want to be there, but if I step back, I love when people come up. Like, I feed off that, because that energy feeds me, and that feeds them, and that just feeds the energy of the crowd and the festival, and it keeps the interest going for them to kind of watch the musician come back to me and be like, oh, I had a good interaction there. I had a good, I don't know, I think that's what this whole festival is really all about, you know, is just making sure to feed good energy, keep a smile on your face, and it's almost impossible not to anyway, but...
Where can people see your work, in person or online?
So in person, I have a studio on the square. It's acting as the green room right now for all the musicians, which I can't believe they don't make me pay for that. But that's pretty awesome. Yeah. I'm pretty stoked to do that. So Jam and Java right by the Town Center. It's like over to the right side, right there back in the nook. But and then online, it's just mattmillerstudio.com. Check me out. And right. Yeah, those are kind of the locations.
Matt, thank you very much.
Yeah,
congratulations.
Thanks, pal.
For sure. Appreciate it. We'll watch in progress. Thank
you. Matt Miller, an artist living and working in Fayetteville, talking with me during last month's Live from the Roots Festival show at the Fayetteville Public Library. Before Matt, we heard music from Gerard Blind Boy Paxton and Liza Ann. And we also heard part of a conversation with Joe Randall from the Walton Family Foundation. That was conducted with my co-host that Saturday, Brian Hembry, a co-founder of the Fayetteville Roots Festival. We're sharing some of the show with you on the air for the first time this morning. Much more music from the show can be heard on tomorrow's daily edition of Ozarks at Large at noon and 7 on 91.3. And ahead on this morning's show, Don Bennett from Tricycle Farms explains how tons of food have been recovered this year in Fayetteville and put to great use. And we'll talk to the winning chefs, one from Bentonville and another from Fayetteville, who won this year's cook-off challenge after only meeting a few minutes before the contest. And more music from the Stray Birds. That's all ahead on today's Weekend Ozarks at Large.
The Komen Ozark 10th Annual Swing for the Cure Golf Classic is September 22nd at Shadow Valley Country Club in Rogers. This 18-hole scramble tournament offers morning and afternoon flights, lunch, prizes, and more. Proceeds benefit Susan G. Komen Ozark. More information at KomenOzark.org or 750-PINK. Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation.
It's that time of year again for KUAF's fall fundraiser. During the entire month of September, all pledges we receive will count toward our fall goal. The on-air portion of the fundraiser will be the last week of the month. Your gift early will help us start with as much money raised as possible. Support the international, national, and local programming that makes this public radio station yours. Make your gift online at supportkuaf.com.
After the holiday, on Ozarks at Large, a look back, way back, to the time when what people read had to be handwritten. The culture, science, politics, and more related to manuscripts. Joshua Byron Smith from the University of Arkansas offers us a preview of a special program and later a special Honors College seminar he'll lead about manuscripts, society, and history. That will be on Tuesday's Ozarks at Large at noon and 7 on 91.3.
Did you know Mars may have layers like the Earth? I'm Caitlin Ahrens, the Pluto Manager with the U of A Center for Space and Planetary Science, and this is Scratching the Surface. Mars is a terrestrial planet just like Earth, so it would be of no surprise that Mars would have a core, a mantle, and a crust just like Earth. But that's all we can really guess. Currently, Mars is basically a geologically dead planet. We have evidence for active volcanoes and possible rifting, but no recent activity can be seen. Also, the Martian core is slowly turning, much slower than Earth's. And we don't even know how big the core is, what materials are involved except lava flows on the surface, or even if the mantle was once geologically alive. So coming up in 2018, the interior exploration using seismic investigations, geodesy, and heat transport, also called the InSight mission, is part of NASA's Discovery program to study the Martian deep interior. InSight will use pulses and a drill to figure out the internal structure of the surface by vibrations and temperature gradient. By knowing the subsurface vibrations, we can figure out the materials used in building this planet, and also how the mantle and core must have moved millions of years ago. For more on the Center for Space and Planetary Science, or for more segments of Scratching the Surface, spacecenter.uark.edu.
Scratching the Surface with Caitlin Ahrens, the Pluto Manager, is produced by KUAF Public Radio in Fayetteville, a service of the University of Arkansas.
This is Weekend Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. This morning, we're listening to parts of a program recorded in front of an audience at the Fayetteville Public Library last weekend. It was produced in conjunction with the Fayetteville Roots Festival and included many of the musicians, artists, and chefs involved with that five-day festival. In just a few minutes, our conversation with the winning chefs from that morning's chef competition that took place on the Fayetteville Square. First, though, Don Bennett from Tricycle Farms joined me on stage.
Roots, also about food, some exciting things happening with food this year, food recovery, some exciting things happening in Fayetteville about food recovery, and it's centered at Tricycle Farms. Don Bennett is with Tricycle Farms. Don, please come out.
Thank you.
One of my heroes, actually.
Thank you. Thank you, Kyle.
Let's first talk briefly about Tricycle Farms. How long have you... Has anyone here been to Tricycle Farms? It's this most amazing thing because you think you're in the middle of town, because you are. You take this left turn off Garland, and you're in this wonderland. How long have you been there?
Since 2011.
2011.
Yeah, that's when we started. We had three people and three tools.
Three people, three tools. And it's grown.
Yes, it's grown. We had 2,256 volunteer opportunities filled this year. So...
Now, the last time I talked to you, you were about to begin or had just begun sort of a food recovery project. Tell me about that again.
Well, we started that 2.5 years ago, and it was about compost. What we found was the food was too good to just throw and make soil with it, so we started sharing it with volunteers. And then through a few conversations working in the garden and talking to the management and the community liaison at Whole Foods, it's expanded exponentially this year. So since January 1st, we've picked up about 76,000 pounds of food, and that's 3 days a week, 2 hours a day, 3 to 5 people, and we've delivered 60,000 pounds of food to people who need who are food insecure.
30 tons.
Wow, that's pretty cool. You said 30 tons.
30 tons, yeah, that would have gone away, not fed anybody because it would have been thrown out,
yeah,
and it's gone to places like Seven Hills and places like that?
Seven Hills, 16,000 pounds, seeds that feed about 11,000 pounds, and then Salvation Army, Life Source, Food Corps, that impacts about 6 schools, and then our service members and service members around us that live on a very small living stipend, we've given them a raise.
Yeah, because this is, when you do this, if you can give that much food to Seven Hills, there's money they don't have to spend on food, but can spend on something,
yes,
else.
It changes our partners and our collaborators' budgets, for sure. Yeah.
30 tons, that's not, you're not getting everything in Fayetteville or Northwest Arkansas yet.
That's just 2 stores. I mean, we work with Whole Foods Market and Ozark Natural Foods on 1 day a week. And we do pick up some coffee grounds from Onyx and make soil with that. So, I mean, 81% is actually delivered to people. And, you know, we're pretty proud of that number. You know, we want to see other organizations, other stores, and we want to share how we do it because it's really not that difficult. We want to see more stores do this and take the 16,600 tons that are actually our food waste that goes into Washington County landfills. So maybe if we divert that, we'll eliminate food insecurity.
6 years ago, 3 people, 3 tools, now this. You're a three-dimensional example that one person or 3 people and 3 tools can make a difference.
Yes.
All right.
Everyone can.
All right. Don, thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
Don Bennett from Tricycle Farms in Fayetteville with me on stage at the Fayetteville Public Library last weekend as part of a special show we produced in conjunction with the Fayetteville Roots Festival. Also that Saturday, I talked with the winning chefs from that morning's culinary competition that took place during the Fayetteville Farmers Market on the Fayetteville Square. There were 4 teams in the contest, each consisting of 2 area chefs who had been placed together at random. On Saturday, Chef Chrissy Sanderson of Mockingbird Kitchen in Fayetteville and Chef Joshua Walters of MOD in downtown Bentonville won the contest. Just minutes after they learned they were the winners, they hurried down to the Fayetteville Public Library, about 3 blocks west, and talked to me.
So you're given how much money?
$50.
$50 to go to the market?
Yes.
Yes.
And how much time?
About an hour.
Yeah, we were given an hour of time to actually shop for our ingredients, and then it was going to be a 45-minute to present 3 plates.
Right.
Now, you found out Thursday night that you would be partners?
Well, I found out Thursday night that I was going to be with Chef Will, but then I also found out that I was going to be with Josh.
Yes.
And we hadn't met till this morning.
So how does that go?
How you doing? What do you want to do today?
Good introduction. Let's go shopping.
Let's do it.
So you have an idea of what's in season.
Correct.
You'll know what's at the market, kind of.
Correct.
So what's the decision-making process?
I just think, he said Baba Ganoush because there's a lot of eggplant right now, and then we went from there.
Well, and so a lot of what you see when it comes to, like, the seasonality of the farmer's market and the way that things grow and develop throughout the years and throughout the seasons is that you'll see these different heirloom varieties that need specific, like, moisture, specific humidities to actually grow to their potential. And so what I'm looking for when I go to the farmer's market is something that with the healthiest skin, it's the healthiest color, because, you know, vegetables and fruits that contain the highest amount of nutrients are also the vegetables and fruits that contain the most color and the most, like, vibrance in their skin. And so that's kind of my approach, was kind of from a holistic way and then also from kind of a flavor standpoint of, I know this is going to be the best because it's the ripest and it's the most beautiful.
So did you split up?
No, we went together.
Yes.
Did you take the whole 45 minutes or did you have your produce?
I think we knocked it out in about 30.
About 30, yeah. And then we were like, well, then what else can we do? So our secret ingredient, so Jeremy gave us a secret ingredient we had to incorporate into the dish. It was dried porcini mushrooms. So we just rehydrated those and reincorporated that into the Baba Ganoush.
Yes.
Now, is that something that can go in Baba Ganoush without much?
Baba Ganoush is really rich, very flavorful, nice mouthfeel, and just putting mushrooms into that more umami flavor on top of that, I think it paired really well.
Well, and for those who don't know what Baba Ganoush technically is, let me go ahead and explain that. So Baba Ganoush is a Mediterranean eggplant spread. So traditionally, it's spread on top of, like, pita bread, or it's, like, paired with feta or olives or something along those lines. And so what we did was kind of a French play on that. So we also, I'm sure everyone's heard of the dish Ratatouille because of the Pixar film. So we actually did a version of a summer Ratatouille on top of it. So we cooked some cipollini onions down with some actual fennel pollen, and then we deglazed that, and we roasted off some of these beautiful heirloom squash, and that went over the top. And then we also, from one of the local purveyors, got some awesome edible flowers that we had garnished the plate with, and then a couple of different crispy components. We did some fried corn silk, as well as two different types of heirloom sweet potatoes that we grated and fried.
Yep. And then just to finish it off, we did a little pickled elderberry.
Yes.
Just a little bit on there. And then the tomato relish.
Yes.
I was really nice and bright, and that always reminds me of my partner's grandmother used to make tomato relish from her garden every year, and we would have it with brown beans and cornbread and things like that. And so I think that just kind of brought that back to the whole seasonality of it.
How'd you divide up? What would the preparation?
I mean, when you're in the heat of the situation, you kind of just, like, you just start going. So it's kind of like we just have a really good communication when we're on the line, you know, when we're just deciding who's going to execute what. It's not really in a favorance or in a preference. It's kind of just like, I got this going, you got this going, let's collaborate,
you know,
let's get it all together.
So we met for like an hour, we did our shopping, just like talking and going, okay, I know just by talking to you, you're strong at this. You take this, I'm going to go over here and do this, if you're comfortable with that, and then we just go.
And how much communication in those 45 minutes? Are you always talking, or are you just in the zone of doing what you're doing?
I think it comes and goes. So I think there's a zone where we'll have heavy amounts of communication, whether it's tasting our mise en place side by side to make sure that we're both comfortable with either the salt level, the acidity level, or the sweetness. And then when it also comes to just the initial preparation, whether it's like knife cuts and things like that, it's kind of just bury your head and get everything done and get it as perfect as you can.
The eight chefs that were involved in this, you all know each other probably.
Correct.
Right?
Yes.
You're all from the Northwest Arkansas culinary scene. How competitive is it? I mean, you're all friendly, I suppose, but...
Yeah, I would say it's pretty relatively
it's pretty competitive.
Yeah, I would say it's pretty competitive.
So we've got bragging rights for a year, you know what I'm saying? So,
yeah. Yeah.
And Josh and Chef Will also won Thursday night.
Yes.
At the VIP, so...
And that was the chicken?
Yes, that was the Koji-style chicken.
Yeah, that was really good.
Yeah.
Where can people, when you're not competing, when you're not at a festival, where can people eat your food?
Well, at Mockingbird Kitchen in Fayetteville in Evelyn Hill Shopping Center.
And then we are actually a new establishment in downtown Bentonville, so we are Modern Ozark Dining, MOD. We are located on Northwest 2nd Street across from Flying Fish. That's kind of a reference spot that I always give to people to kind of show our location. We just hit our first full year of operation, and we are a prefix-style menu, so it's 5 courses, $39 prefix. And we have a choice of vegetarian or fish or meat option, and then everything else is kind of family-style shared.
One last question. Can doing something like this help you learn something about cooking, or are you just going so fast that you're just...
Oh, no. You're always learning. Always learning. Especially when it's different textures or flavors that go together. You could, like, you know, hadn't thought about that before, and then you're like, oh, you know, to bring things, and then, you know, you do things like this, you learn things, you can take them back to the restaurant and, you know, and see what happens there.
All right. Joshua, Chrissy, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks and congratulations to chefs Joshua Walters and Chrissy Sanderson from MOD in Bentonville and Mockingbird Kitchen in Fayetteville, respectively. Still to come this morning, Becca Martin Brown from the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette with me here in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio to discuss what's happening the rest of this Labor Day weekend. Then immediately after that conversation, more music we recorded last weekend at our annual Saturday morning Roots Festival program.
On the next morning edition, the latest on the recovery efforts for those affected by Hurricane Harvey. Plus, many of us have jobs that involve a whole lot of sitting.
At least 8 hours of looking at the screen and sitting in the chair.
And TV time after work just adds to that. There are real health risks, though, and one of those risks is that you might lose the ability to walk. Walking, use it or lose it, on the next morning edition.
Tomorrow morning from 5 to 9 on 91.3. Good Sunday morning. It is September 3rd, 2017. I'm Kyle Kellums in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio, and with me is Becca Martin Brown, features editor at the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette.
Because we know exactly where to spend the holidays.
Yeah, right.
Usually here.
Yeah, right.
That's all right, because we love our peeps out there.
Yes. Yes, we do.
So there's this exhibit in Fort Smith, mm-hmm. and I was kind of excited because it's called Searching for the 70s.
As in the 1970s?
Yes.
Okay.
And I thought it was going to be all about Woodstock and tie-dye.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much. It's happening at the Fort Smith Regional Art Museum, and it's an exhibition created by the National Archives and Records Administration and organized for travel by the Smithsonian Institution Traveling Exhibition Service, but it looks at the environment in the 70s.
Oh.
These photographs were taken by photographers hired by the brand spanking new Environmental Protection Agency.
Created during the Nixon administration.
So about 70 photographers went out, and they did over 100 assignments between 1972 and 1977. And so you get to see what the environment was like in the 70s and what people were concerned about. There's a lady in one of the pictures holding a jar of water that's nasty. Mm-hmm. There's kids in an inner city playing in a fire hydrant. There's chemical tanks of some kind sitting on the edge of a beach. It's just really fascinating. And then there's also the photos you expect from the 70s, because they were also, as a secondary mission, asked to document the culture of the 70s.
Okay.
So it's just fascinating. There's 90 photos in the traveling exhibition. It started traveling in the 70s, set for a while, and then they got it back out.
Oh, so it was a contemporary piece.
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
And now it's back. They had to choose these 90 photos out of 22,000 wow. slides, out of which 16,000 have been digitized. Mm. Noise pollution, families coping with mining-related injuries, black lung disease, a mining crisis in Colorado, and then happy little old people in a retirement hotel, and happy kids playing. Catherine Halpern, who works for the Smithsonian, is the one who's the curator of the exhibit now. And I asked her what her favorite image was, and she said it's one by Gene Daniels that actually the Fort Smith Regional Art Museum used on their exhibition postcard. It's a stack of smashed cars in an auto dump.
Mm-hmm.
And she says it's cool looking, you know, cool colors, cool textures, but she loves it because it's a conversation starter. She said, I'll share a little secret. Many of us who work on exhibitions like to come into a gallery or exhibition space we've worked on when the public is visiting and observe how they respond to the exhibition.
Of course, that makes sense.
This particular photograph always gets people talking, especially intergenerational groups, because they point out the different makes and models of cars and who owned what and when and which car was connected to a particular life event. And she just thoroughly enjoys that.
So this is at the RAM?
This is at the RAM, and it will be at the RAM through October 29th. So you have time. And if you went down to Fort Smith, like today.
Okay. Sure.
You could also go to the Fort Smith. Oh, it's not open till the 7th. Never mind. Don't go today because the exhibition at the FSRAM doesn't open till the 7th.
Oh, okay.
But go to Fort Smith today because the soda fountain at the Fort Smith Museum of History is having a build your own sundae day.
Yeah, there
from
you go.
2 to 4 for $5. And they have a real soda fountain.
Right. It's fantastic. Oh, that's a pretty cool idea.
So let's see. Art ice cream. You're going to have to make this decision yourself.
Well, you might be there already, right? You don't have to. Not everyone has to go to Fort Smith.
Well, that's true.
People are in Fort Smith. Second largest.
Hi, people in Fort Smith.
Second largest city in the state.
So go eat some ice cream, and then on the 7th, go to the exhibit.
There you go. Becca Martin Brown, features editor at the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette.
Researchers say pythons have been established in the Florida Everglades since about 2000. But what impact has the invasive species had on the ecosystem?
Virtually complete disappearance of most of the middle-sized mammals, things like rabbits, raccoons, opossums, even declines in things like deer and bobcats and some of the more carnivorous species.
On the latest Short Talks from the Hill, University of Arkansas researcher J.D. Wilson talks about his research on the impact of invasive Burmese pythons in Florida. You can find the program under the local and podcast menu at KUAF.com.
All right, we're ready for some more music?
Yeah.
Crowdsource, we are. Ladies and gentlemen, the Stray Birds.
She escaped. She didn't answer when you called her name.
in the sky. There they go flying, high and free, without concern for you and me. It's probably all right, the things you did. No one was ever against you, kid. But it's third day in a row you've seen the sun come up. Yeah, some things take a lifetime to learn, and so you made them up. Yeah, you come such a long way, you know. Now you can give up. Yeah, it's the third day in a row you've seen the sun.
The Stray Birds last weekend at the Fayetteville Public Library. It was part of our Live from the Fayetteville Roots Festival program, produced in conjunction with the Fayetteville Public Library and the Fayetteville Roots Festival. We'll hear much more from the Stray Birds, Gerard Blindboy Paxton, and Liza Ann on tomorrow's daily edition of Ozarks at Large. Many more of the songs they produced on that Saturday on the air for the first time tomorrow at noon and 7 p.m. on 91.3 KUAF.
On this week's On the Media, the national conversation about Hurricane Harvey reflects a complex picture of American priorities.
It's an opportunity for us to actually pull back the curtain and see what some of the deeper commitments and values of a society actually are.
Disaster relief, recovery, and rhetoric on this week's On the Media from WNYC.
On the Media, this morning at 11, after This American Life on 91.3. Big thanks to Brian, Bernice, and Jeremy, and everyone involved with the Fayetteville Roots Festival for letting us play along again this summer. Big thanks also to Josue, Chris, Will, David Johnson, everyone at the Fayetteville Public Library for letting us host our special programs in their wonderful facility. Timothy Dennis, our engineering wizard at Ozarks at Large and 91.3 KUAF, thanks again for your help. And thanks, as always, to Antoinette Grajeda, who was with me most of the Fayetteville Roots Festival, co-hosting on the main stage, the Friday live broadcast, Wednesday night at Crystal Bridges, Thursday at Pratt Place Barn. Antoinette, thanks for your continued hard work. Thanks to everyone who works with us here at Ozarks at Large and KUAF. And thank you for tuning in and listening. We appreciate your support these past 28 years for Ozarks at Large. Another show tomorrow, noon and 7. Ozarks at Large, a production of 91.3 KUAF, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Bentonville, and Mena. I'm Kyle Kellums. Have a great rest of your holiday weekend.